Welcome to Nothing But Fantasy. My name's Phil Nasons. She's Andrea Lamont, and we're here to talk fantasy baseball with you. What's happening, dude?
Did you watch any baseball last night or what?
I don't watch baseball.
Okay, well, let me fill you in.
Okay.
Masahiro Tanaka?
Yeah, he was out. I had him at DraftKings last night.
Oh, well, so you did watch it. Well, you watched Masahiro Tanaka rack up points, right?
I found out this morning because I don't look at night.
Okay, so you saw this morning then. Mm-hmm. Whenever you saw, how many points did he get?
I don't remember, but it was quite a bit.
It's in his 30s. It had to be. Okay,
which
so he
good.
Comes out. You know, he's been a pitch away from Tommy John, from his elbow falling off, his shoulder falling off, whatever,
right.
Since 2014, right? He's like the only pitcher in history who's ever just denied Tommy John and just kept pitching, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's fine. After a couple seasons of pitching well, you get to the point where you're like, okay, maybe it's never going to happen. Like, maybe he's not one pitch away from Tommy John. And then he comes out and he just has several horrible outings, including his last outing, which was the worst of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes out last night and he pitches he pitched like crazy. I got to pull up my notes because I don't have chatter in front of me, but this was in chatter and I'm just going to locate.
Okay. So, pitched really good though. He was really good. I had him at DraftKings. I was going to play him over at, FanDuel, and I didn't. I instead went with Scherzer and messed up everything because I had originally planned on using Clevinger. He pitched good last night. I changed everything and lost. So what had happened with Tanaka yesterday?
Okay, here we go. Here's what I wrote in chatter. It's the headline. In a surprising turn of events, Masahiro Tanaka took a shutout into the eighth inning. He didn't walk any batters. He struck out 13,
mm-hmm.
including the 7 that he caught swinging in the first 3 innings and 8 of his first 11 batters.
Right. He did great.
So the pitching coach, Larry Rothschild, came out and said that pretty much like he was drifting from side to side in his delivery.
Right.
Okay. So they worked on it and he came back last night not doing that. Like he says that as long as he leaves the rubber in the right way, everything takes care of itself. It's very difficult to pitch when you're trying to break it down piece by piece. Before this start, I asked him to look at the video and not break it down, but visualize what he was seeing in his delivery and take that to the mound. And that's what he did. And now all of a sudden, but here, let's not sugarcoat things, okay? Tanaka is going to be one pitch away from Tommy John surgery. This doesn't scratch that out of the picture. Also, another interesting piece is that he pitches totally better when Andrew Romine is behind the plate. He's got a 2.21 ERA. Versus when Gary Sanchez is behind the plate, he's got a 12.27 ERA. I mean, I know how you feel about the catcher thing, and you're not as, I guess you're not as adept to giving the catcher as much credit for the pitcher as I do, but I definitely think that that can't be a coincidence. What do you think?
No, it usually isn't. That's why A.J. Ellis usually caught Clayton Kershaw. I give complete credence to that, and I agree with it. Of course.
Okay.
Why wouldn't
I? Yeah. Probably some other idiot I was talking to that doesn't.
Well, maybe. But the thing is this. If the pitcher's comfortable, he's comfortable. But there's a lot of people that were dropping Tanaka. And I'm wondering now if they're still going to want to drop him after this big outing. And maybe if they should or not.
No, they're not going to drop him. Here's the thing.
Should they?
Yeah. Well, I don't think they should drop him. No hell way. They should sell him, though, maybe. I mean, so... there's something to be said about the catching thing, even especially when it's somebody from out of the country, you know, that doesn't really speak the language that good. It's really, I think it's even that much more important for them to have somebody behind the plate that they can communicate well with, right?
Right.
Like I said, if there's a time to sell Tanaka, it's now. And I would be on the horn with everybody. I say that stuff, but I hardly ever get trades done.
Right. I had a very interesting trade proposition this week.
Yeah, tell it to me.
Oh, this is going to make you laugh because it's a funny story. Anyway, I had proposed a trade Cody Bellinger, the kid from LA, the Dodgers, for Corey Seager. And that got turned down, but that's okay. But somebody else offered me even a crazy trade.
Yeah, tell it to me. It was a different guy.
Yeah, I have Max Scherzer. He wanted Max Scherzer and he offered me Ryan Zimmerman.
You know, I mean, I always try to remind myself, I've been trying better lately, that when a person makes an offer to you, it's typically not like the final offer. It's like you're dealing with a bunch of car salesmen here,
right,
you know?
Well, here, so, but let me finish, because it's even better. So I told him, no, thank you. I'm not trading him, right?
Okay.
For
right.
no reason. Uh-huh. None.
Right. He's not for sale.
Not for sale. Not even close. Anyway, okay. So he sent me another trade proposal. He wanted Justin Verlander for Ryan Zimmerman. I have 3 first basemen on my team. That's the first
one. Oh, that's the best part about it. See, that there's no excuse for that.
None. And then, you know what? I wrote it because we have a Facebook group for our league. And I wrote there, I'm not trading any of my aces, especially not for people when I have too many of them. And he wrote back on there and says, you should look at your record, pal. You need offense. And you could use your aces. Now,
how am I going to fit him in?
Yeah, where do I put him? Pull him out of my rear end? See, this is why I get tired of all of it. That's why I don't ever really trade. Oops. Because it's stupid.
Here's an interesting thing that I found in one of my leagues this year at CBS. I just was noticing that I kept getting this error message saying that, you know, one of those warning messages saying that I have 4 reserve players and I need to have 5 reserve players.
Right.
I've never seen anything like that before. Like, I mean, okay, it's one thing if you have too many outfielders or, you know, something real. But I just kept wondering, why does it keep telling me that?
I hate CBS.
And so then I noticed like a couple weeks ago that I had a ton of pitchers in that league. I'm like, we must start way more than 9 pitchers. So the settings were set to have a minimum of 9 pitchers active at a time.
Really?
And a maximum of 14 pitchers active at a time, even though the commissioner was actually trying to say that you're allowed to have 14 pitchers max on your team. 9 have to be active, right?
Right.
So the rest of them are just bench players. So I noticed this because the other day I took one of my pitchers, one of my active pitchers, and I benched him. And all of a sudden the warning went away. And I thought, that's really weird, basically. And so I told Lenny about it, and he goes in there and looks at it. You're allowed to have 14 pitchers active in this league. And I think we're the only ones that know about it. I'm not going to be telling everybody, but
well,
I figured
did.
I'd tell listeners. But, you know, if they listen to this podcast, then they deserve to know.
Oh,
but
right. Other, okay. Because I hate CBS. That's the league that's the host site for the baseball league I'm in. But back to here's Massey.
Sorry, people.
Yeah, CBS sucks.
Well,
anyway.
check your leagues because if it's a mistake that could clearly happen.
Clearly, you know? And easily too. It appears.
Obviously, well, I don't know if our commissioner's the brightest tool, but either way.
And I hope that person's not listening.
He's bright enough to get the league done and. CBS is messed up.
Is he bright
I'm not
enough to listen
it.
To this podcast?
He might listen. He's not going to get offended by that.
Okay, good. What about Masahiro Tanaka? Do you keep
him?
Yes,
anyway.
Do you cut the cord?
I sell him for as high as I could possibly
especially
get
after
him.
Last night.
For much more than Ryan Zimmerman. This is the perfect time to sell. When a pitcher had a great outing, maybe you wait for him to have one more. I would probably maybe kind of risk it for every outing that he has that's good is going to increase his trade value. So it's just how long do you want to push the chance token, you know?
I think he's going to pitch all year and it's going to just drive people crazy. He did it last
year.
I had him last year on my roster and I loved it.
He had the best season of his life last year.
Yes, of course he did. And
But
now he's not on my team, so I don't give a crap.
Okay.
Well. I was good. I should have used him at FanDuel. I should have kept my roster. That's another thing. Don't tinker with your rosters 10 minutes before lineup lock because you
got
some
hunch. Try not to give up on players too soon.
That's another thing. And by the way, when you're making trades, look and see what the person actually needs.
Yeah,
instead
that's
of trying
the most
to
important
be a freaking
thing.
Leech.
Hello?
And then call me stupid. I do this for a living. I'm going to tell you right now, I would never I wouldn't trade a shoe with a hole in it.
So the
Ryan
guy like
Zimmerman.
half-assed looked at your team and he said, okay, where's this guy doing really bad?
No,
I think he
saw my league.
That's all he did.
He saw I was in second to last place in my division and figured he could fleece me.
No, have you been doing crappy in hitting?
I've been doing good. You know what? I've been doing my roster is just fine. You know what it is I don't pay that close attention to it because here's why.
Well, you should look at the categories and see where you're lowest.
It's a points league. So what's happened and it's a weekly changes done on Sunday. And that's the only day I look at the freaking thing. And
yeah,
I'll tell you
well,
why.
Well, you can't do anything any other day. That's
right.
What sucks.
When you do daily fantasy, that's why I asked on my fan, but nobody understood. When you do daily fantasy baseball, and you're trying to do it and you're doing it for a living, you're spending 5 or 6 hours, maybe 8 hours a day studying statistics. The last damn thing I want to do is go and look at my stats and make a move on Tuesday when it doesn't work until next week for a league that I'm just having fun with.
You can't even do anything. I usually don't even look at my leagues until Sunday or Saturday night, and then I start looking to see who I want to bid on. But I agree, if you can't do anything for your team, then why punish yourself by staring at it every day?
Exactly. I don't even look and see what I'm doing right now. And I know that I had a good night because I have Max Scherzer and Chris Archer because I'm smart.
Oh, you're so smart.
My pitching is fantastic. My problem is I make the mistakes with the hitters. Like, I had Edwin Encarnacion on the bench, and he hit, like, 5 home runs.
Right,
And because of Chris Davis, you see? Because I got all these first basemen on my team.
This is why you don't put Edwin Encarnacion on the bench ever, and you don't put Jose Bautista on the bench. If you draft him, you know that you have to play them because it is so maddening. That is so maddening.
Oh, I hate that. I know. But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't care. Last year, I looked because I can't have a little notebook. I keep track of stuff. And I was in the same spot I was last year, and I wound up winning like the last 9 straight weeks when I started to care. And then because I was at camp and I didn't have anything else to do. So then I hammered them, which I will do again. So he just gave me an impetus. Pissed me off, really. But anyway,
the people that are listening to this podcast, hopefully they care about their teams. Let's help them out.
Well, of course, but I care about my team, just not as much, because I care about my daily one more because I like to eat. Anyway.
Right. Well, hey, one more thing about that. We're starting to see football already coming out. Lenny and I do baseball all season because that's what people like, because baseball, it takes much more clever people to play baseball than it does.
Ooh, I don't know.
And it's true. I've been saying that. I have no problem saying it. And it is true. Football is once a week. It's, a few players. You know exactly who's going to take the spot if your guy's injured. It's totally based on luck. I mean, if you're the guy with the healthiest team at the end of the season, then you win.
Okay, but that's not – but you said based on luck. I would have to say that baseball is a lot of luck too.
Well, it is, but there's so much more of it, and there's so much more you can do if somebody gets hurt. Like, it's 162 games.
Right.
Football is 12 weeks. If your number one guy goes down.
Football 17 weeks, but neither here nor there.
Or whatever it is. So, it's okay for fantasy. Maybe it's 17. I don't know, but it's minimal.
Weeks for the regular season is 17.
It's minimal.
Weeks.
It's basically 17 games versus 162 games.
Okay.
And a lot of different aspects rolling up. A lot of different moving parts. Like on football, you got the same goal for every player, touchdown.
Right.
That's it.
Oh,
you got
okay.
a touchdown. I just think that it sucks for baseball players, baseball fantasy players, because everybody starts talking about football. But the one thing you can use to your advantage is when you're starting to get down and feel like your season's over, these people are all going to be like, oh, my team's doing well. And then they become, just stagnant. They're over playing football, trying to do mock drafts and all this. And this is the best time of the season to start taking advantage of these players that are too busy doing football, right? It's after the All-Star break. And just if you can't find baseball information, you can always come to Lenny Melnick, fantasysports.com. We should have named it Fantasy Baseball because that's what we do all season.
Right, all season. But see, some of us do other sports. And football's more – football, you know what I like about football really? Is I don't have to spend 100 hours a day like I do in baseball.
Right. It is that much easier.
It's not that it's easier. It's just less time. I can spend more time. For example, because this year I'm not going to do any writing or nothing. I can spend all day on Tuesday with the quarterback, Wednesday with the running backs, Thursday with the wide receivers. And I can do that and relax a little bit. Baseball, you can't do that.
Every day stuff happens every day.
Well, yeah. Plus, it's just a whole new starting lineup in some cases. A different quarterback, if you will, every single day. Like today, for example, they decided to flip the doubleheader around with the Chicago White Sox-Detroit Tigers series. And I just been sitting here changing all my freaking players because of that reason. That pisses me off. That don't ever happen in football.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happens in football. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Okay. game time decision, probable, questionable, may not play, will tell you if he's going to play like 1 minute before game time. That's what sucks about football. You never know if the dude's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
If he misses practice, you don't know for sure that means that he's not going to play or if they just want to give him some rest.
Okay, that's okay. All right, that's fair enough. But usually, but here's the thing. You don't have to set your lineup until Sunday.
It's so easy.
If a guy shows up at practice on Thursday or Friday, he's probably going to play. You know, they do that just to be stupid and try to be sneaky. Most of the time, unless the guy's on the injured reserve list, they're probably going to play that day.
Yeah, probably.
That's football. But here's the thing. Enough of that. We'll help the baseball people out. That's
yes.
Better.
That's what we do.
Yeah, because football is probably not your forte.
I have no clue. And I still win football leagues. That's another thing that I know that makes it just that.
See that. And there are people out there who play fantasy basketball who know nothing about the sport who win. And there are people in baseball that do it too. But if they were paying attention this week, Jose Abreu was hotter than a pistol again. He had 3 bombs and 6 RBIs and batting almost 500 over his last 7 games.
Who is this?
Jose Abreu.
He said that he finally started figuring it out.
Figuring out what?
Figuring it out for the season. Like he feels like he's in his groove now.
Oh, right. Well, and then until the next slump.
Right. Well, I don't know. I mean, the guy's got mass power,
Mass power.
What are you going to do?
What do you do with Jose Abreu? Do you sell him high or do you keep him?
You can't sell him high because I don't think that he's hitting that good.
Well, here's the thing, though. After 3 home runs and 6 RBIs in a week and batting almost 500, that's hitting pretty good. That's so high, right?
But I mean, who are you really going to fool with Jose Abreu? He's been doing this. He hasn't lived up to it. Same with Stanton, but
people who read Fangraphs.
Here's another one thing about Stanton. I know we were talking about Abreu, but Stanton came to mind because he's been somewhat of a disappointment on kind of a crappy team, and we know his power is good too. Today I put in chatter. He's hit 25 home runs at least 460 feet, right? So let me just give you a comparison here so you can get like how huge this is. The whole Colorado Rockies team since 2010 has hit 14 home runs at least 460 feet and 13 home runs by the Toronto Blue Jays. Okay, 13 have gone past 460 feet since 2010. So I got... I got all backwards, but whatever. If you have to rewind it a couple of times to understand what I'm saying. He's hit more home runs that far than the whole Rockies team and the whole Blue Jays team since 2010. And like the next players that have the next most of home runs that have gone at least 460 feet is Justin Upton, Nelly Cruz, and Encarnacion. All 3 of them have hit 6.
Okay, so what does that have to do with Jose Abreu?
He's hit 25, dude, that far. I only brought him up because he's been a disappointment, kind of like
Giancarlo
Jose Abreu.
Stanton.
Yeah, Stanton.
Oh, right. Well, you can't cut him at all.
Well, he's been disappointing for the most part, and so is Jose Abreu. What are you going to do? You sell high? I guess you could probably sell high because he's probably not going to continue this streak. He's on a crappy team.
He's on a crappy team, yes.
Although, I mean, I don't know.
But he gets hurt every year, too. Doesn't he?
I don't have his stats right in front of me,
so
I can't really say.
Yeah, he gets hurt every year. He missed half the year last year.
Well, okay. I've never owned him, not one time.
Okay, so anyway, Mike Stanton, forget about him. Anyway, you want to know who else is hot this week? One of those Colorado Rockies guys. Charlie
Blackman.
Yeah,
he's
killing
crazy.
3 home runs, 14 RBIs, 2 stolen bases. He's batting .438 over the last week. That's a guy right there where you could absolutely, and now this is all on the road, by the way, absolutely sell him high.
Oh, you don't sell him though, dude. He's like the troll. He's gonna win your league, really. I mean, I own him, and where I own him, I'm winning by a good amount, and he's a huge reason why. I was watching Quick Pitch last night. They were talking about Charlie Blackman, and he hit what could have been a double, but he decided not to run. It was late in the game, and so they asked him why he decided not to run, and he said, "Well, you got to have respect for the game. I mean, I was thankful to be on base and to get a hit. And so I don't really care about getting a double. You know, it's just like really humble, kind of hippie-ish, just really cool. But I don't sell him. No way. You keep him.
All right. I think I would. But that's just me.
What are you going to get for him?
Nothing really. And I don't really, because I don't go.
What could you? Here's what I do.
This is a little theory I have, and it's paid off in spades. Yeah. I don't, in season-long leagues, I don't even bother with Colorado Rockies guys because they're only good for half a season.
Are you kidding me? Colorado Rockies are off to the best season in franchise history. They have the best road record, and you don't, and I understand what you mean. Like, typically you stay away from pitchers from Colorado as well, but this season they have a rotation full of rookies, and they're out of control at home. You know, it seems like they're probably pitching above their means at this point. You know, they'll probably come back down to earth. But as far as the hitting is concerned, you know, the team is on a roll. And I don't know if you've noticed, you don't watch baseball, but everybody in baseball is dancing. Everybody, like the Rockies are constantly dancing, the Cubbies bullpen. Ever since David Ross got on Dancing with the Stars,
all of
the teams are dancing. It's really cool. I'm going to have to tweet David Ross and tell him that he made baseball great again for dance. Now everybody's dancing.
Oh, right, yeah. Do you follow baseball players on Twitter?
Yes, some of them I do. I do follow David Ross because I watched and rooted for him and in what he did, Dancing with the Stars. He came in second, you know.
Right, I didn't know that either.
That was really cool.
Dancing with the Stars is a show still?
Yeah, I know, right? I guess it's been around for like 7 or 8. I have no idea. This is the first time I ever watched it, but I watched every week when he was on it because he's too cool.
But they don't hit on the road, and that's what my point was.
Well, they do, though, this year, so.
So far, but and traditionally, they haven't. The pitchers have been good, but traditionally, they haven't.
But
May 27th. We'll see what happens by the All-Star break when they fall apart like they do every year. They crumble like
that
cookies.
That's so not true. That's ridiculous to say that. They don't crumble like cookies.
Who doesn't? What was their record last year?
The Rockies hitters?
I'm talking about their team in general.
Well, their team in general might not win games, but we're talking about the players' own fantasy. I was talking about the team.
They don't win games on the road, and they crumble like cookies, and usually it's because they don't score enough runs.
Okay.
I hate the Rockies.
I know.
I used to do this segment on my
I really like the Rockies.
Yeah. See, I don't like them. I used to do these thing. My friend lives out there, and I used to call them Ruben's Rockies, and I would just mock them for like 10 minutes.
You just don't like the Rockies in general, apparently.
I like Denver, but I just don't like the Rockies because for that same reason is that they only play half a year, it seems, when they were on the road. This year might be different, but it would be an aberration, correct?
No, I don't really think that you can judge a team based. I mean, they're a different team every year. It's not,
those numbers are inflated because they play at Coors. That was my point.
Yes,
and when they play away from Coors, they sink like stones in a river.
Well, Charlie Blackmon and Nolan Arenado, those guys are going to win leagues this year.
Yeah, maybe. Devin Travis might win in a week or two matchups. He's killing it.
Dude, Lenny had him last night in the daily game. He won like crazy. He crushed everybody with like 30 points from Devon Travis.
That's a cool thing. This kid has 3 home runs, 9 RBIs, and he's batting .464 in his last 7. Now, I would be curious as to see how much he's owned in fantasy and season-long leagues. I'm going to look that up.
Well, I could tell you right here.
Okay. What is he owned? And what is Devin Travis owned in fantasy leagues these days? I bet it's not by much. Oh, it's 28.6% owned.
Are you in ESPN?
Mm-hmm.
I just happen to be over at CBS.
I bet he's owned less there. You almost have to be stupid to play at CBS. I play there, too, so I'm calling myself.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm talking about playing at CBS in a season-long league. You'd have to almost be stupid to play there.
Why?
It's almost impossible to play there.
Why?
I can't play, like, with my laptop screen. I miss half the freaking team. I have to use the phone to, I accidentally put Bryce Harper on the bench, and I finally corrected it this last week.
So
two weeks ago, I did it on purpose.
He's owned in 56% of CBS leagues, and he starts 40%.
Wow. Wow. Well, what do you do with him? Do you pick him up? Do you think this is a thing?
For sure.
Well, for sure?
Well, why not? I mean, he's definitely shown that he's hit 4 home runs this season. Last year, he hit 11 home runs. He stole a couple bases. So, yeah, when he's having a hot streak, I think you pick him up, especially since he's on the Toronto Blue Jays, and you know that team has a lot of power to get him, you know, to score runs.
Right.
So that's what I like the most about him is the fact that he's like an RBI and a run guy.
Steals bases too, right?
A couple. Yeah, he's stolen 4 bases already this year, and he only stole 4 all season last year, but he got caught twice so far this year, so he's getting caught a quarter of the time, every fourth time he gets caught.
Still, though, holy cow, he's having a good couple weeks.
Yeah, he's going for it. He's only 26. It seems like he's been around for a few seasons, but he really hasn't. He actually hasn't had any full seasons at the major league level. He had 432 plate appearances last year, but that's the most he's ever had. And he still batted 300. So, I mean, for on-base percentage, for average, for RBIs, and for runs, he's great.
4 home runs for Ryan Goins, too. Something's going on with those middle infielders there. But when Tulo comes... Now, here's the thing, though. When Tulo comes back...
He's back, isn't he?
Well, I mean, full-time, though. When when they know for sure he's healthy... Somebody's not going to play there, and I would think that Goins, he's been hitting home runs, and Devin Travis is playing really good. What happens then? You know, what happens when these guys start getting healthy and taking their spots back and playing all the time?
Yeah, didn't Josh Donaldson just come back too?
Yeah, that's what I mean. So,
I think that, I mean, I don't know what happens, but if he continues to hit the way that he's hitting, it's almost like, I just always assume that if they're hitting like this, they find a way to keep him in the lineup. I mean, his on-base percentage is horrible. He has a .266 on-base percentage. That's going to crush you, dude, and especially if he gets full-time plate appearances, which he has, 130 on the season. Mm-hmm. I don't expect – there's just way too many players, I think. There's a logjam going on, and he's too streaky of a hitter to, like, go out and spend a bunch of your fab money on. But, you know, if you're desperate and you happen to be like in an AL only league or something, I mean, there's got to be a better second baseman than him on the available.
Probably. When she says fab money, she means free agent budget. Some people have a budget, right? Some leagues.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of leagues don't. The one I'm in doesn't have any of those things.
Well, you know, I love to be able to go pick up players anytime I want, but most of my leagues have weekly where you bid on a player and it goes through to the highest bidder.
See, that's way too much work for me.
I don't like to spend all my money early. I like to save some. And Lenny would tell you just the opposite. He would tell you to spend what you have to get players now before you get too far behind.
I don't play in that league kind of league, so I don't know. But now... I was going to say, what was I going to ask you? Okay, well, you know something?
What?
You've got this Devin Travis. Now, how much would if you're playing in a league like that where you have a free agent budget, what, and you have to bid every week on a player like Devin Travis off
I'm
going to
bid
wire,
like, yeah.
How much?
Mm-hmm. Okay, if I had a season-long budget of $1,000 and I had like $700 left of it, I would still only bid like $15.
$15 seems like a lot.
Yeah, I mean,
him.
So here's the thing. This is going to change for every league. So what you want to do is you want to go and find your transaction log and see what people are paying for players. That's mm-hmm. what I do. And then I decide based on what people are paying in a typical week, then I decide what do I have to pay to get this player. And if it's $50, I'll pay $50. But if I see that people aren't that active or people are only spending like $20 on a player, then you can get a gist of how much people are willing to spend and then, you know, add another 20 or so just to make sure. But you can really tell a lot by looking at the transaction history, don't you think?
Yeah, sure. I've never been in a league where they've done that, so I don't know. I've never played in a fantasy baseball league where it was an auction.
To do what?
For auctions for anything.
Oh, you've never auction drafted?
Not in basketball. Not in baseball, I mean, but in basketball I have, and football I have, but never in baseball. So that was curious to me how much that would be. what I would have to bid to win a Devin Travis, because quite frankly, I don't know how much I would want to pay for him.
I wouldn't
pay.
I
don't think this is a real thing. I think this is just, he's just hot for a couple weeks.
Well, he's much better. Dude, he's much better than Brian Goins, I'll tell you that. Brian
Goins.
Well,
that's true, but I mean,
if you need a second baseman, he's a good pickup. I love his team, and I love that he gets good batting average, good on-base percent. He's worthy of a few bucks.
I have one for you, a second baseman that I like a lot.
Who?
Jed Lowry.
Ugh.
Ugh, what?
Oh, but you can't even think that Jed Lowry, you would spend more on him, right? I would,
and I'll tell you why, because I know for sure he's going to be in the lineup every day. I don't know. I can't honestly say that about Devin Travis.
Until he goes down with an injury like he has for the past 3 seasons.
Or he gets traded to a better team, because that's what's going to happen. That's the Oakland A's. I covered them for
2 years.
Do you
know how old Jed Lowry is?
Yeah, I think he's, what, 29 or 30?
He's 33.
That's still not old.
He's
a middle infielder.
I know he is, and he's fine for that. He's a Jose Iglesias. He's a, you know, basically you get pretty much nothing from him.
Well,
he's fine when he plays. You're right. He's on a streak right now. So, absolutely, you play him for, like, his counting stats. But he's already got 6 home runs. The guy's got to be tested for some P something.
PEDs,
yeah.
The PEDs?
Pitch.
Yeah, well, or he's had power in the past, hasn't he?
I mean, yeah, in like 1989.
He's hit 73 home runs in his career. Here's the thing.
In 3,000 at bats.
They projected him to hit 20 over at ESPN this season.
This season.
And he's hit 6. He's batting in the third spot.
So that's what I don't get. Why in the world would ESPN project him to get 20 home runs?
Well, I got a good idea, because Chris Davis is batting behind him.
Maybe that's because that's what he's on pace to get. Maybe that's what they're saying.
No, they call it projected.
I don't.
They projected he would play 159 games and hit 20 bombs. That's what it says.
Is that preseason projections, or that's that's projections for the rest of the season?
Yep, and his average draft position
is 260. I would never get my stats from ESPN then.
Well, whatever.
RotoWire says 5.
Okay, well, guess what? He's already outdone it, so maybe he's...
I know, he's at 6.
That's good, and it's only May, so relax over there.
Don't spend all your money on him.
I would. I would do that instead of Devin Travis, because Devin Travis is on a hot streak. Jed Lowry can crush.
Oh, please.
But he's going to get traded,
like I said,
too.
He hasn't crushed since 1989.
Well, that's okay, but once you have a skill, you never lose it.
That's true.
And you're hitting in front of Chris Davis, you know he's getting some juicy pitches to hit, because... there's no way in hell you pitch to Chris Davis, who hits
monster shots. Okay, well, that makes sense. He probably does get some pitches. I would definitely think that's true.
I would think that would be true. Now, let me ask you something.
Let's talk about
it. Fisher cut bait.
With who?
Me. No.
I swear.
Eddie Rosario. Eddie Rosario. Now,
he's
really on a hot streak.
No, he's been sitting from the bench, Eddie Rosario. Since you sent me this rundown, and today he hasn't been
what?
Playing at all.
He didn't play today. Yes, today, but he's playing
today or yesterday.
He's had 20 in his last 27 at bats. He's only had 4 hits with 2 extra base hits, just 1 walk.
He bats 132 over his past 2 weeks.
He's not doing very good, is he?
No, Robbie Grossman's been taking over in left field, and so that's why he sat 2 days. But I did also read that maybe the Twins are just trying to use the same lineup that they did on Monday when they scored 14 runs. So that's the same lineup that they've been using since then, really. And he wasn't on it, so maybe that has something to do with why he's not in there. But he's definitely going to have to share time with Robbie Grossman if he has any kind of bad day, you know, bad couple of days, because they have someone else to play if he can't.
Right.
You know,
now let me ask you this though. What do you do with him? Do you fish or do you cut bait?
What's he got? Does he have a bunch of stolen bases or what's he doing?
That's just it. He doesn't. He doesn't have much.
Let me look at him overall.
Yeah. Eddie Rosario though.
He's not doing much.
But here's the thing though. If you were playing DFS.
One stolen base, that's not good.
Yeah, but if you were playing DFS, there was about 6 or 7 straight days there when he was taking care of business. But he's really had a tough time. He's gotten 1 stolen base this season.
He doesn't have a ton of experience yet, really.
Not really, no. But, you know, he's one of those guys, like, in DFS. And I started to notice a trend. That's why I asked the guys in my league how many of you play FanDuel and DraftKings. Because I've noticed that people who play at FanDuel and DraftKings and play in season-long leagues go for these hot hitters every week who make no sense in season-long but make absolutely crazy good sense in DFS. And it's time we finally tell people those are two different games.
So,
this, what do you do with Eddie Rosario?
I was just looking closer at his game log, and I see that the two games that he missed were a couple days ago. So my notes were from a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
The last couple days, he's actually had 7 at-bats, and he's had 1 hit in 7 at-bats. So,
yep.
That's okay. It's not horrible. It was a double.
Yeah, he's playing every day. That's
what
I mean.
I'd be interested to see where he's hitting in the lineup.
I can tell you. I have all that in front of me.
Tell it to me.
He's hit anywhere from 5th to 7th to 9th.
Well, that's part of his problem, right?
Maybe.
Batters do not like to move around in the batting order. It's unbelievable how wimpy they are, but that's the case, apparently.
That's weird because he's a rookie, really, or just a young guy.
They don't know where to put him.
He's had 2 years of pro major league experience. He should just be happy he's up there to bat.
I'm sure he is, but we're not because we're fantasy owners, so he's probably fine with it.
he probably is. His debut in the majors was in 2015 against Oakland, and he hit a home run that day.
Oh, that's a curse right from the get.
It can be, or you can be like Mike Piazza, and it could be a blessing.
I don't see any crazy things. Let's see what his stats here. All I can say is that if I owned him, I would have to bench him right now because the Lord knows there's a billion outfielders that you could be playing instead of him if he's not hitting, and especially because you don't know if he's going to play. So if you're in a weekly long league, then you got to figure out what to do. That's tomorrow. You have to figure out what to do. I would bench him for next week because he's actually making better contact rate by 7 percentage points than he did last year.
I would drop him. And
his strikeout rate has gone down immense. Like, he went from 25.7% to 18.9%. So it's gone down quite a bit.
Right.
So, I mean, and his contact rate is up to 80%. He's making contact 80% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
His walk rate is not very good. But, I mean, those would say to me that he's just having a bad couple of days. But the problem is that their depth in Minnesota is quite deep. So they have... they're not going to give people long leash. They're just going to bench him.
Well, I'll tell you who's the thing. I think I'm reading the wrong blogs because I just said the same thing over and over again.
Tell me.
Adam Frazier's having a crazy good thing going on right now.
Yeah.
ESPN, he's only owned in 27% of the leagues.
Oh.
This is a thing where he's going to be out there. Once they start hitting, they find a place for you. Starling Marte's still out for a few more games. Probably 20 or 30.
Oh, yeah, quite a few more games.
Yeah. I would pick Adam. You know what I would do in my league? If I had this kid, Eddie Rosario, first of all, I would cut his ass.
Okay,
and I would pick up Adam Frazier, and I wouldn't even look back.
So, Adam Frazier plays everywhere. He literally everywhere but first base, which I'm sure he could play at first base if he had to.
On that sorry team, he has to.
But he plays second base, third base, shortstop, left field, center field, right field. Pittsburgh has always been really, like, as long as I've known Clint Hurdle to be there, he's been very good about playing, what do you call Josh Harrison, the guy that goes around and he plays all kinds of positions.
We call them super subs.
Yeah.
Super utility players.
Yeah, utilities.
Mm-hmm.
He's a utility player. Josh Harrison was a utility player for a couple years, but he got a full season of at-bats because he always hit well. I mean, Adam Frazier seems to be kind of like a Josh Harrison, and I don't have a problem thinking that he's going to continue to get at-bats if he continues to hit.
And he's going to find him a place because the kid from Korea, he's going to be stuck in a slammer over there for a couple years. So,
he's got to like live out for a year. He might as well be in jail because he's basically, they're just waiting for him to do something bad so they could put him there.
Well, I think he isn't. I think
they gave him a suspended sentence.
Oh, is that what it was? What's the difference?
Yeah.
You're stuck there. If I was stuck in North Korea, I'd be suspended. I would want to suspend myself too.
Yeah. Well, it just, you know what it is. If he gets in trouble for anything over the next like 9 months and he gets thrown in the jail, They don't want to let him come here and play baseball because they want to be able to keep an eye on him, and they, you know, aren't giving him a work visa because of that. So
you would pick up Adam Frazier and drop Eddie Rosario?
Yes.
Yes. We're in agreement.
For once in our life.
For once. Odubel Herrera.
Yeah,
a Phillies guy. A Phillies guy. He's a Phillies guy, for God's sakes. No wonder he's where he is. But here's the thing. I hate the Phillies because I'm a Mets fan.
You hate them.
I do, yes. I'm a hater.
I hate the Mets, too. You must
love the Mets. I'm a Mets fan.
but
he's had 5 hits in his last 40 at-bats. 5 hits in his last 40 at-bats. I know a lot of people who were really high on him this year. What do you do with him? He's only had 2 extra base hits in those 40 at-bats.
It sucks because
28 strikeouts.
Everything is bad. Like, everything. His contact rate is down. His swinging out at pitches outside the zone is up. His walk rate down. His strikeout rate up. His isolated power down. Every single stat is trending in the wrong direction. So
way in the wrong direction. That was an understatement.
It's just unfortunate. I mean, I'm actually glad that I traded him. I traded him for I traded him for Ender, Inciarte, and Odorizzi.
Really?
Yeah, I got
Odorizzi is a nice pitcher. I was going to use him today in daily baseball.
Who's the pitcher? Is he from? I'm thinking of the pitcher from. He's in Chicago and he's whatever he is. He's a number three or a number two guy.
Right, whatever it is.
But
yeah.
He's much better than Odubel Herrera. I'll tell you that much. And so
right,
is his better buddy.
Right,
I just don't know
is.
What's wrong because I thought Odubel Herrera. I mean, I targeted him in a lot of leagues. I thought he was going to be something great this year. I would have a hard time cutting him.
Plays for the Phillies. That's where his problems begin.
I think the Phillies have a great young team. I thought their pitching was going to be so much better, but apparently I was the only one, so I could accept the fact that I was wrong in that.
Well, I didn't bring that up because you were wrong. I just don't like the Phillies in general.
Well, look at their pitching. I mean, it's just falling apart. Like, Eichhoff, Vince Velasquez, he should just be pretty much dropped at this point. They're just
Eichhoff's pitching today. I think he's going to have a good game. That's the one thing. You know who I like on that team, though? I like Aaron Nola, but Odubel Herrera, what in the heck do you do with him? That's a tough one because he's only batting .227. You're not expecting a lot of there.
If you don't have any kind of, you know, attachment to him like I do, because I started liking him last season and I got to see him live, I have an attachment to him. And I know that if you don't, then you probably can get rid of him to the highest bidder. I don't think you should drop him, though. He's still got to be worth – do you think he's worth anything?
Well, of course. I think you could probably sell him low and get something. I think I would – he's another outfielder. If I didn't drop Rosario, I would – to pick up Frazier. See, Frazier's probably going to be widely available in a lot of leagues. I think Max Kepler's also out there, and I think he's doing a nice job.
He's okay, but he's
Ian Happ is less than 50% owned, and he's going to be playing too. Here's the thing, though. This is one of the great things about playing daily is I don't get married to these guys, so to speak. I don't get that
involved. I just don't know about Adam. Yeah, you don't get... Can you hear me?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I thought I unplugged it because I slammed my hand.
All right.
Anyway, you get... So you don't have any kind of biases with Adam Frazier and Odubel Herrera. It's hard for me to look at it like from an unbiased standpoint because I look at Adam Frazier and we don't know really anything about him. He's only been in the major leagues for like 200 total plate appearances. Like, I don't really know what to expect out of him yet because we've never really seen anything more than what we're seeing like right now. Last year he had basically he's matched his numbers from last year. So whatever happens from here on out is unknown territory.
Right.
But for you, you see the numbers, and that's a good thing. You know, you see just the numbers. You don't really pay too much attention to the
daily.
Fact that Odubel was supposed to be so much better than he is, and it's just like you're emotionally attached in a way.
But I have a debt to me list, and usually it requires the entire Philadelphia Phillies organization.
Oh.
Not from a daily standpoint, but from a season-long standpoint. I have a dead to me list.
See, I you can't own him in daily because he's sucking, and you expect him to suck again today. But in season long, it's a different. You know, I guess it's a little bit different.
Well, you know what? This is the kind of thing that you like to see in daily because you know what the guy can do, and you can get him awfully cheap, and he's going to hit again. See,
I will pick Adam Frazier because he's like in the 2000s. still.
I don't know. Yeah, I would do that. The other one I would look at is Max Kepler. I would look at him too. I definitely. Yes. You know who else I would look at a little bit? I got this feeling Josh Reddick is going to start hitting. He's had
Byron Buxton.
Byron Buxton.
He's going to start hitting one of these days. He's
one
going
of these
to.
Days.
It might take him till August, you know, but
yeah,
he's going to, when he does start hitting, he's going to be out of control.
You know what though? Josh Reddick is hitting now and he's
starting. Is he hitting good?
He's yeah, well, yes and no. I don't know what good means.
See Michael Saunders?
He's batting 280. He's got 6 bombs, 20 RBIs, getting a couple stolen bases. So
you like Reddick.
But here's the thing about Reddick is he's in a powerful lineup. That's another thing I kind of look for. It's
yeah.
What kind of lineup are they in? It's like with Eddie Rosario. He was batting toward the top of the order, I think, when he was in his hot streak. And you look at Jed Lowry. Jed Lowry's batting third. He's got that freaking Chris Davis monster batting fourth. So you're going to see a lot of good pitches, and that's kind of what I try to look at. And I would say Odubel Herrera, he batted a ninth the other day, I think. That's not good.
Well, here's the problem with him, too. He's being affected by where he is in the lineup. So I looked at all of his stats at the different positions that they put him at so far. He's batted third. Well, the ones I looked at was batting first, leadoff, batting second, and batting third. He's okay batting third, but he was horrible batting second. He was batting like in the 100s. And Lenny said on the podcast just the other day that they need to put him back in the leadoff spot. That's where he hits the best. That's where he belongs. He is a leadoff batter, and he should be there. But they were just messing around trying to, you know, get – I hate it when managers do that crap where they don't have a good reason, because all it does is just – it messes up a person's mind, even though it's totally weak to say that, and they should be much tougher than that. They get paid a ton of money to go out there and hit the ball. Doesn't matter if you hit after or before or wherever. It kind of does, you know, unfortunately it does. So last night they put him back in the leadoff spot, and he went 1-for-4 with a double and a run scored. So – whether or not it has a lot to do with the fact that he was back to leadoff, we'll see. But I do think that that's something to be aware of.
That's fair enough, and that's a very good point, too. It's like when Michael Conforto bats leadoff and plays left field, for some reason he hits home runs.
But crazy good, yeah.
Yeah, that's the same way. I don't know what to do with him. You know, when you get these prolonged slumps, I'd hang on to him one more week, whatever. But Manuel Margot, now he's in a walking boot.
Yeah, you got to get rid of him.
This
he wasn't...
is the time to say sayonara to him. Yeah.
Adios.
Adios. See ya.
Have a nice day.
Thanks
adios.
For everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Au revoir. All of that crap. Bye.
He's got problems. He's got an injury. They don't know if they're even going to put him on the DL. It's like he's going to miss a couple days, and it's got to be the worst for fantasy owners when. You know, that's the one good thing about the 10-day DL is that the teams will actually put their player on that, knowing that they're only going to miss like a start or a few games. Rather than, you know, they'll just leave a guy sitting on the bench for however long it takes him to heal, and you're stuck with him on your active roster because he's not on the DL, so you have no place to put him.
Right. I think he's actually been put on the 10-day disabled list, though, now.
Yeah, well, he's worthless anyway, so get rid of him.
He's worthless?
He's worthless.
You think
he's right
worthless?
Now he's... Yeah, I think
you want to see a DL.
He's been hurt for longer than he says he's been hurt. He hasn't tried to steal a base for 9 games. I think that he's been hurting that hamstring's been bothering him a little bit, or his calf, or whatever it is. It's a leg thing.
Well, you know something? You want to see a DL that looks crazy. They got 12 guys in a freaking DL at Seattle.
Oakland has like 14 pitchers so far.
Yeah, most of those guys are
Single A, Seattle's the craziest. Seattle has had how many starting pitchers?
It doesn't even matter. Listen to this.
13 or something.
Yeah, listen to this list of injured players. Every one of these guys, I believe, except for one, people were talking about as possible drafting. Mitch Haniger, he's on the DL for 10 days. Felix Hernandez is on the DL.
He's been on the DL.
Sasha Iwakuma is on the DL.
Yeah.
Evan Marshall is on the 60-day DL, so he's probably done for the season. Sean O'Malley, 60-day DL, done for the season.
Bullpen.
James Paxton, DL for 10 days.
He's always hurt, and he always will be hurt. He's the picture that you find in the dictionary when you look up injury prone.
Yeah, he is. But when he was pitching earlier this season, everybody in DFS was gaga over the thing.
Right. He's Rich Hill, dude, when he's healthy. He pitches well.
Yeah, but Rich Hill has a blister problem, for God's
sake. Rich Hill is always hurt, too. They're the same guy.
They're the same guy. James Paxton, Rich Hill, Evan Scribner, 60-day DL. Shea Simons, 60-day DL.
Brett Anderson. Simmons.
Drew Smiley, 60-day. Yeah. Ryan Weber, 10 days. I'm going to tell you right now, forget about these bums. Forget about the Seattle Mariners. Forget all about that. Forget about Manuel Margot.
Yeah, forget him. Let's move on.
Let me ask you this. Sam Dyson.
Why do we even talk about Sam Dyson?
Because the people still own him.
They should not be owning him, dude. If you own him, you're in last. Like, you have. Your team sucks if you own him. There's no way that you're still rolling around with Sam Dyson. You don't own him, do you?
No, I don't give a crap about him.
I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Matt Bush
I don't know.
Is the guy he's, you want to pick up there.
He doesn't have a closing job, so he's now just a mid relief guy. So, but he's still not even getting any kind of high leverage situations. He's being asked out of all that stuff, and then he comes out trying to prove himself again. He gave up 5 runs, dude, 4 earned runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, a wild pitch. He did walk 2 batters intentionally, but regardless, dude, that still doesn't make it any better, right? Because he still walked a shit ton of batters. He's absolutely, totally going to get DFA'd, dude.
I don't think he's going to go to that point, but, you know, they brought him into the 7th inning, Bannister, and he gave up a bunch of runs. I think that's what you were alluding to. And you know what? He's in trouble. But the guy you want to pick up over there, he's 53% owned at ESPN, is Matt Bush. That's
why?
The team that you're going to, because he's going to get you some saves. They don't have an effector. They don't have any of that stuff there. Bush is probably, if you really need a closer who can get saves and who Bannister trusts, that's who he trusts right now.
I don't know.
I just read it in the Dallas Star today.
Matt Bush is the guy. He's the closer right this minute. He's the closer. They don't have really much more than that. They have Jeremy Jeffries, who's tried to be a closer a million times and never panned out. Keone Kila, who got in trouble like after spring training and got sent down to the minors. He was like, I don't know what he was doing, having a bad attitude or something. And yeah, I mean, as far as opportunities, he's the guy. That's what you got in Texas.
Well, that's what you have to look for if you're streaming relievers or you have some injuries or you got stuck with Sam Dyson.
Right.
What a bummer. Well,
yeah, totally.
Jose Berrios, you sell him high?
Didn't we talk about him last week? But I know.
Last week's show got screwed.
Yeah, you sell him. You absolutely sell him immediately.
He pitched a good game again this week.
He's a great pitcher, and he's going to be a good pitcher coming in the future, I think. Although, this is his highest. I'm telling you, this is his highest value. It's the highest he's going to be all season, and you can get a big haul for him because – and the guy is pitching like a Max Scherzer right now.
Right now.
Do you think that look at his number of innings pitched at the major league level? Think about it. Batters, they adjust to pitchers just as much as pitchers adjust to batters. So as soon as they start to figure it out, which they will, then that's when the real test comes along.
I'm reading this according to Paul Sporer.
Yes, he's a great,
Fangraphs.
Good pitching.
He is very good at it, yes.
Smartest guy I know. Yeah.
One of them, anyway.
Well, as far as pitching goes, he's the smartest guy I know.
Okay. 8.02 ERA and a 1.87 whip in 14 starts and 58.3 innings pitched last season. That's Jose Berrios.
Right, we know.
Now, here's what he says. Paul Sporer says this. All 3 pitches are markedly better. But the fastball is the key. The high fastball has been particularly important and led to a 2.259 OPS, 35% K, and 20 pitch plate appearances on the pitch.
Okay.
You know what is amazing? Because I'm used to reading stuff at a couple writers at Fangraphs who can't even spell, and yet this is very good. And high fastballs have ended 25% of his plate appearances this year. Plus, he's throwing his curve. Plus, he's doing some stuff.
Okay, that's fine. But here's the problem with the high fastball. When hitters start to figure out that they're leaving fastballs up in the zone, and they, you know, I'm telling you, they have much more experience learning that you leave fastballs up in the zone. He's got a 88.9% strand rate. It's really high. His batting average on balls in play is 113. That means that hitters are not getting on base the way that they should. They should be getting on base on average on 300, an average of 300. They're getting on base at a 113 average. That's so low. That's way lower than it could ever be sustained. I really don't think that he's going to continue to do this. Does he walk batters? No, he doesn't walk hardly any batters. But last year he walked 5 batters per 9 innings. This year he's only walking 1 batter per 9 inning. I just don't see how you could. I mean, yeah, maybe he's got a good fastball and that it's throwing batters off. But ooh, I question the fact that he. Just those things that I said. That's it.
Okay, because
that's what I question.
I'm curious. You said that the league batting average is 300.
The league batting average on balls in play is 300.
Oh, and BABIP. Oh, right.
And so his batting average on balls in play is 113. So batters are not getting on base the way that they will eventually, probably.
And he's probably getting some help with his defense. They seem to play better behind him, too. You know, but here's the thing.
They are hitting like crazy. I mean, that team is hitting a lot this year, so.
Well, they're trying to, yeah. And I heard somebody was surprised that Minnesota was in first place.
Well, of course. We're surprised that they're in first place. We're also surprised that the Rockies and the Diamondbacks are also in first place.
It is pretty cool so far, but I would scratch the Rockies because at some point they're going to come back to earth. It's not about it's just when they don't hit as well on the road.
They're going to come down to earth after Jose Berrios comes down to earth. I'll tell you that.
I think Jose Berrios is in for a fantastic career, but I don't. If I got Jose Berrios, I'm probably good. No, I'm not selling him. I'd keep him.
Huge haul. Huge.
Well, yeah. That's probably why I'm losing right now in my league. I don't want to part with anybody. I should have traded Max Scherzer for Ryan Zimmerman, huh?
Like, we could bring up Eric Thames right now.
Eric Thames has sunk it like a rock, right?
And last night he was having. Oh, he got so pissed off because they went to review and when he slid into second base and he was called out. So they went to review the play and they thought for sure that he was going to be called safe. And when they came out and said that he was still out, he threw a big tantrum. Like the other players had to hold him back. He was like cursing at the camera, just, you know, falling apart.
Could be Roid rage.
Mound presence, buddy. Remember mound presence. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Take a listen.
You know what? This is really funny. You bring up Eric Thames. Is I've never even considered him, not one time in Daly, not one time anywhere.
I loved him in Daly because he was pretty dang cheap at the beginning.
At the beginning he was. But see, I get nervous about guys like that. But one thing I'm not nervous about today, and since none of you are going to benefit from this, I'm going to tell you.
What?
Nelson Cruz is up against Brian Johnson from the Red Sox today, and he's going to smash the shit out of that guy.
Probably. Are they in Boston?
I think so, yes.
Okay, well, that makes it better.
This would be so good. I love watching Nelson Cruz hit left-handers.
Oh, and what about Franklin Gutierrez? He's healthy. He's healthy, dude. You know what else? The Dodgers are hitting lefties like crazy. Last year, they were horrible against lefties, and everybody thinks the Dodgers can't hit lefties. But the whole team, figured out how to hit lefties. Well, maybe they have.
I don't know about that, but one thing I do know.
I just found out today.
Well, that's okay. I agree with it. I know that they have been, and it's been startling. Here's what you have to do
Franklin
if you want to be
Gutierrez.
Smart. He's okay. He's a good
one. Buy him in Daly.
Yeah, if he's playing against a lefty. But here's the thing. But you have to make sure, though, that he's going to play.
He usually is.
They're loaded out there.
Yeah, that's true. They are loaded up.
But here's the thing. Instead of going to FanGraphs, which is a very good site for to get all their splits as a team and as individuals, don't use the season split. Use the last 10 days when you're looking at some of these teams because the Dodgers really look like crap as for the season because they had so many struggles early.
Yeah.
And then now they're starting to hit a little bit. It takes a long time in baseball to get those batting averages up.
It's important nowadays because we're deep enough into the season to be paying attention to just the last 7, the last 14. Don't be looking at season-long stats because that's not going to help you out at all.
It's not going to help you out at all. Unless you're playing against me, then by all means, do that.
You don't want to play a guy for what he did on opening day.
Why would you? Unless he hit 3 home runs and he's still hitting home runs.
But he's probably Eric Thames.
Yeah, Eric Thames is probably not even worth our time.
Kyle Schwarber now doesn't bat leadoff anymore. Finally, the Cubbies got rid of him there, and they're actually benching him, too. That would be rough if you owned him.
Yeah, but here's the thing, especially if you're the Cubs. You could have traded him 2 seasons ago, sold him high, and he would have been freaking terrific. If they
I
had
think
sold
he'll still
him,
be fine, but he was out all last season. You can't just expect the guy
yeah,
to come,
but then he
you
came,
know.
But he came back in the World Series and hit rocks. Right?
Yeah,
hit
like
rockets.
A couple hits. Few,
couple home
few
runs.
At-bats. Right, so then that means that he's ready now. I don't know.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He picked up right where he left off the season before. That's what people were wondering about, I think.
Yeah.
I would have traded him for a whole bunch of whatever because Theo Epstein is a really smart guy.
Yes, he is.
Just like you are.
I love Theo. I get all my knowledge from him.
There you go.
Not all of it. Some I get from Lenny, too.
We're out of here, dude.
Okay, dude. Have a great weekend. I'll
hey,
see you.
You too. And you guys
good
out there
tonight.
Have a great weekend.
I think I'm going to take Nelly Cruz in the daily game now.
I think you should. Yeah, because
okay.
I usually get those right.
My pitchers today. My pitchers today?
Who's your pitchers today?
Let me find out.
For tonight? Are
yeah.
you in the early game? I don't. Okay.
All day games.
Let's see. Okay.
I have all day games.
Yeah, that's okay. You know what? This is good. We'll give out this advice.
Yeah, I'll
and
tell
then
you.
Here's why. When they go back and look and they listen later on and they say, wow,
Lincoln
they got
Bragg.
It right.
Yeah. So I got Marco Estrada and Steven Strasburg.
Okay, you're talking about playing in the early slate today.
I'm talking about the all day game, 15 games.
Oh, I don't get into those, but
oh shit, Omar isn't playing.
I don't play there.
Edit quickly.
Okay, here's what I can do.
No, I'm editing.
You do it, and I'll tell you who I would pick.
Yes, do it.
I would say because I'm pretty smart about pitching too, and I actually am an ex athlete. As opposed to some other guys who aren't. Jared Eichhoff. I like Jared Eichhoff today against the Reds.
He's playing against the Reds?
Yes. And he's playing at home, too. And you know who else I like today is Michael Fulmer against the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox are putrid against right-handers. Michael Fulmer is Justin Verlander 7 years ago before he started chasing after Kate Upton.
I like him a lot. I think I'm going to... Oh, damn.
Oh, damn. What happened?
Marco Estrada's playing already.
Oh.
So I can't get rid of him. I was going to trade him out for Fulmer. That was a good idea because he's less money anyway. But
Jared
okay,
Eichhoff
first instinct, but that
today.
Is a good one. I don't know about Jared Eichhoff. I would be hesitant to do
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. If I were playing in a GPP and that's all I play, I would definitely select Jared Eichhoff because hardly anyone is going to be on him. And that would matter to me, I think, to have to be contrarian. And I got this feeling, and I know he's a Philly, and I know that would go against everything I said, but I didn't actually play him. I'm telling you to play him, or I would play him. He can't suck every time he pitches.
Ooh,
Jared Eichhoff can't suck every time he pitches.
Well, the Phillies can suck every time they hit, and if they're not, you know, there's no run support, then that really messes it up for the pitcher.
But here's the thing. This is a two-pitcher system. So you got two pitchers. Now, Michael Fulmer is probably going to get a win against Chicago.
Jared Eichhoff is so inconsistent in the daily game, dude. That's why I don't like him that much.
Well, I understand that. But the thing is sometimes you have to take a chance. It's gambling after all.
I like Strasburg going against San Diego. That's my best pick of the day.
Oh, yeah. That's a gimme there. But,
at
you
home.
Know, you know what? I've been one of those guys that, and you know, you've seen enough of my work over the last couple of years to know, I usually don't go for the high price guy because I don't know baseball as well as a lot of people do, and I can't find these knuckleheads like Maldonado, for example, that wins you a GPP or whatever.
Who's your first baseman? You got anybody cheap?
Let me see. Who would I play? I'm looking at the I don't even know about cheap because I can't enter it because the contest is already
I'm talking
begun.
About like you got here's your choices. You got Kenny Vargas, that could be a good one.
Okay.
Ryan Healy.
No.
See, I would have to get rid of one of these guys like Brian
I would
Gozer.
Probably take someone like for example, Carlos Santana today would be a good one. I would think let me see. Edwin Encarnacion would be a good one because he's
I'm
hot.
Trading out my second baseman because Brian Dozier is too expensive. So then I can get a decent
well,
first
you know
baseman.
Who might be cheaper?
Cesar Hernandez. He's always
maybe.
Good.
But you know who else has got a good matchup today is D. Gordon.
Okay. Let's see. What
I think D. Gordon is playing against J.C. Ramirez today, whose ERA is about 4.
I like Gordon for the daily game.
Yeah, daily for DFS.
He's 4,400, though. That's quite a bit. Let's see what I can get
and
now.
And here's the other thing while you're trying to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Daily fantasy sports is gambling. I said it years ago, and people got mad at me for saying that. I called FanDuel and
DraftKings
my online casino. No, people got angry with me, and they were like, we just want to know where you stand. You keep calling it this and that. I said, it's a freaking gambling.
How can you say it's not gambling?
Well, you know why. Because you know why? Because they bit the Kool-Aid.
Fine, you but let's be real with each other here. We'll tell the judge gambling. One thing, but let's just...
Yeah, yeah.
I hate it when they act like we're just supposed to believe that.
You know what bothered me even more than that?
What?
The way they tried to lump in season-long league with daily.
Oh, whenever it was convenient, they did.
Only. You know, they did all their things. Their entire marketing was to make it, this is the big time, and this is better than season-long league. And yet, the minute they got in trouble, they wanted everything banned. And they've accomplished it. That's why if I go overseas, I can't play anymore.
I'm going to take Tommy Joseph, Cesar Hernandez.
I'm
going to take
Phillies.
Well, you said they're going to. Yeah, because Eichhoff is going to beat the other team, you said.
Okay, I didn't say Eichhoff is going to beat the other team. I said Eichhoff is going to score points against the Reds. Who's pitching for the Reds today?
Bronson Arroyo.
Okay, that might not be bad. But then again, the Phillies haven't hit in a week. Or more.
Oh, but see, I got Odubel, I got Cesar Hernandez, and I got Tommy Joseph.
Okay, you
but
got
that's
a
what
sneaky
I'm doing.
Stack. You
that's
know
what?
What
I'm doing.
You got a sneaky stack.
I made it
Thanks.
Work.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. I'm Phil Nasons. She's Andrew Lamont.
And nothing but fantasy.
And we'd like to thank you for nothing, but thanks for listening to Nothing But Fantasy. Bye, bye, no, don't.